Our scripture readings this morning comes from the book of Acts, as well as from the book of John. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2, the verses 1 to 22. A very well-known passage this morning, and we would like to connect this morning to the passage in John 14:6, as we expound this. Book of Acts chapter 2. 1 to 22, as we read from God's inerrant word. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mockingly said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then we turn to John chapter 14. And we read the first 14 verses, John chapter 14. Our text this morning is John 14 verse 6. As we are studying the I Am statements of the Lord at the moment, we're going to look today at I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. So we read from verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take to you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, our text, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So far the reading from God's Word. Christ, the only way. Brothers and sisters, maybe some of you have been lost before in your life. Maybe when you were a child and your mum and dad went to a shopping mall, you got separated from your parents. And there was huge anxiety between parent and child to try and find one another again. You ran around in the shopping mall trying to find your mother or your father, and the more you did it, the more confused and lost you felt. Well, sometimes when you go into a strange foreign city, we take the wrong turn off. And at the end of the day, we are horribly lost. Or, like some of us, may have been out tramping, missed a few markers, and got lost for a couple of days. But how do we find our way back? When we are lost, we are lost. And sometimes it's required for us to rely on somebody or something to point us in the right direction. All people on this earth is lost. The Bible teaches us this. So the question is, how do we find our way back to God? The answer is simple. I am the way, the truth, and the life, as we read in our passage this morning. The Lord Jesus makes a very significant claim. He claims that he is the only guide for us to be reconciled with God. This is one of the other, the last seven statements, the I Am statements that we've been studying. And it consists of three parts. But let's consider it. So let's look at the context quickly this morning. Jesus was talking to his disciples and was sharing the Last Supper before he was being betrayed, before he was handed over to be crucified. During the meal, he told his disciples that one would come and betray him. And we've read in chapter 13:21 that indeed happened. But the Lord also told them in that chapter 13 that we haven't read today, but on another occasion, that he will be with them for a little while longer. So they became troubled. That's why the Lord said, don't be troubled. He tried to encourage them. He tried to encourage them by saying, trust in God and also trust in me, John 14:1. He directed them towards the future, as he does to me and to you today, and he will do it till he returns. The Lord did not tell them where he was going, but rather, he was trying to show them his role in all of this. The Lord asked him, do you know where I'm going? And Thomas objected, Lord, where are you going? Now, most of us will remember Thomas for his doubt. Okay, but Thomas was also honest and straightforward. Where are you going, Lord? He wasn't afraid to say what was on his mind. He wasn't afraid to say to the Lord, Lord, explain further, teach more. He wasn't afraid to express his concerns with the Lord. So he said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Verse 5. Jesus responded, in no unclear terms, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He turned the attention away from the place he was going to him as a person. Because if they understood what he was going, where he was going, and what he was going to do, they will understand everything. This is always the central issue for you and for me. Who is Jesus? What has he done for you? If we have the right belief about him, if we have the right belief in him, if our relationship with him is sound, we will end up in exactly the same place as where he's at. The question is not where, but how to go to be with the Lord. When Jesus said, "I am the way," this is where he put the emphasis. I am the way. He is the way to the Father because, as we'll see later, he is truth and life. Most people these days refuse to accept this, don't they? They believe there are many ways to God. This was a very popular in the Greek and Roman times, as they believed literally in hundreds of gods, or polytheistic. They believed that many gods represented the true God. Various pagan religions were in those days. Okay? And all those religions were very tolerant towards one another. They believed they all offered the way of salvation, and all were prepared to accept the path to heaven. All these religions believed there were many ways to be saved. Today, we live in a similar age, don't we? There are many people that say, all ways lead to heaven. The first and 21st century are not that much different. Today, there are many ideas, many philosophies, many religions that say we have to be tolerant, accepted, and welcome the fact that there are many ways to God. We call it pluralism. Our situation is more like a smorgasbord today, where people believe you can go out to lunch or dinner and pick a little bit of this religion, pick a little bit of that philosophy, pick a little bit of that lifestyle. We add it together and we form our own religion. This thinking is even prevalent in the church today. It's called the openness of God theology. It's advocated by a person called Clark Pinnock. He said, various paths to Christ, and that many pagans who haven't even heard about Jesus already belong to the kingdom of God. In other words, there are many ways to be saved. But what does the Bible teach us this morning? The Bible says that Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way." With these words, he made a very exclusive statement that flies in the face of the 21st century pluralism. He is the only one, because he is the only mediator between man and God. No pope, no saint, no priest, earthly priest can mediate. Only Christ can mediate between us and God. He is himself the way. He is the way to God the Father because he is God himself. He was and he is divine. He was a man, but not just any man. He was also the eternal Son of God. He wasn't merely saying that he knew the way to the Father. No, but that he was the way to the Father. This, brothers and sisters, is why Christians in the first century AD was known as the followers of the way, Acts 9 to 24, 40. They bore the name of the Lord Jesus. They followed him, they were his disciples. They walked in the way. That is also why they were persecuted, why the Roman Empire killed and martyred thousands of them. Because they refused to bow before Caesar and the other idols. They refused to go with paganism. They refused to do it the earthly way because they realized and recognized that Christ was the only way. We must see this today. Most people think of various religions of the world in the following way. It starts at the base of a mountain and you climb up till eventually you reach the top. It doesn't matter what path you take, as long as you get to the top. But Jesus refutes this. He says, I am the only path, or the only way. No one comes to the Father except me. John 14:6. If you're going to be saved, you must take the path that begins at the cross of Jesus. The cross is not a confusing roundabout on a road that points in all directions. No, it is a single signpost pointing to the narrow path that leads to life. This can be illustrated, brothers and sisters, by the life of Tohokio Kagawa, a young Japanese man who came to faith in Christ. He described what he learned from Sikhism, Buddhism, and from Confucianism. Then he wrote, yet these three faiths utterly failed to minister to my heart. Utterly failed to minister to my heart's needs. I was a pilgrim journeying upon a long, long road that had no turning. It was weary. I was footsore. I wandered through a dark and dismal world where the tragedies were thick. Tears were my meat day and night. Buddhism taught me compassion, but since the beginning of time, no one declared to me, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remissions of sins. He knew that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Do you know this? Do we trust in the saving death of the Lord Jesus? Are we following him as the way? This is what drives the work of evangelism, brothers and sisters. We want other people to know about the way. We want other people to know about the Lord. Because salvation is found in no other name except in the name of the Lord. Acts 4:12. But Jesus also declared to us this morning that he is the truth. What is truth? When Pontius Pilate questioned Jesus, and Jesus said to him, I came into this world to testify to the truth. John 18. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Many today ask the same question. What is truth? In our postmodern situation today, brothers and sisters, every person's truth is their truth. Many people will say, who do you think you are to proclaim one single truth? You are arrogant to even make the claim that you know the truth. Instead, people believe that everyone has a little bit of the truth. So, truth becomes relative. How many times have you heard people say, yep, yeah, that's true for you. What's true for me is something different. But this makes truth, of course, subjective. It becomes slippery. It becomes something that is molded according to our preference, and is no longer based on principle or truth. Today, how many times will people say, oh, it's not right or wrong, it all depends. They do not accept the claim of the Lord Jesus that he is the truth and the only way to the Father. Listen to our generation today. Oh, there's nothing wrong with adultery. What does God say? He hates those that defile the marriage bed. There's nothing wrong with homosexuality. But what does God say? To God, it's an abomination. Oh, there's nothing wrong with us enjoying the Lord's day as we want to. But what does God say? The day is holy to me. Brothers and sisters, things become relative because it suits people. It suits people. Because they no longer want to hold to the truth. Don't we see it? We all have participated in multi-choice exams, haven't we? One question, multiple answers, but there's only one right answer. And this is the same. There's only one truth, and the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as his words. This is what Jesus claimed. I am the truth. I am the truth. It's not only that he had come to explain the truth or the point of truth, or say something about the truth, or even to say things that were true. No, He was the truth. John uses the word 25 times in his gospel. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:17. All we know is based on him. Think about it. All we know was built and created by him. All we have and are centered on him. He is the origin of everything that exists, the framework for everything around us. Everything we know flows through him. He came to reveal the truth about the Father for us. In verse 7, he said to the Jews, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." He is the truth, and he came to tell us the truth about God, the Father, so that we can know God the Father. In today's situation, where everything is subjective and relative, we must, as believers, always maintain that the truth is objective and factual. It is centered on the actual work of the historical person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know what is true because we know that Jesus is the truth. Why do you think Satan is trying to shut down Christianity? Why do you think he's trying to keep Christian people from speaking out? How is he trying to bring lies into the world? How is he trying to get us to compromise on the truth of God's word? How many people in the church today question the authority of God's word? It's no longer applicable. It's no longer applicable to our generation, some people claim in the church. How sad this may be when we deny the actual historical person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his word, even from the pulpit. What is the Lord to you? What is God's truth to you, as we find in the Bible? Is it mere stories, or is it in actual fact the way to direct your life? How do you take your decisions? Do you refer to the Bible as a reference point, or is it the only source of your decision making? Are we still holding out the word of truth to other people? Do we encourage other people to return to the word of God to find the truth, or have we compromised as well? The Lord Jesus says there's only one truth, and it's his truth, and also found in his scriptures. Thirdly, the Lord said to us, "I am the life." Now, for some of you, life is lying on the beach, having a few drinks, or having a nice book to read, walking in the forest. Life may be, to some people, weekends. Life to some people may be their careers, their success, their property, or their money. To some people, life may be their status or their sport. But what does the Lord say to us? "No, I am the life," says the Lord. And a little later in his conversation with his disciples, he defined what he meant by life. "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." John 17:3. Throughout the gospel, life is described as a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God, the Father. Life is to be found in Christ, with Christ, and from Christ. The Lord gave us life through his death. Jesus made the connection many times over in his gospel. He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." John 10:10. Standing at the grave of Lazarus, he could say, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11:25. He could say that, anticipating his own death, knowing that he would rise from the grave. Think about it for a minute. The claim of the Lord Jesus is very striking. He was about to go to the cross to die, yet he claimed he was the way. He was about to be condemned by lying witnesses. Yet, he said he was the truth. He was about to die physically, and yet, he declared he was the life. This has been well expressed by a name, man called Thomas Kempis. He wrote a very famous book in the medieval times, in the 15th century, The Imitation of Christ. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way which you must follow, the truth which you must believe, the life for which you must hope. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do we walk this way? Do we believe this truth? And are we living this life? Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us all as we hear this wonderful, gracious, merciful message of the Lord again today, to do some introspection in how we live also with the Lord on a daily basis. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in a time of prayer. Indeed, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, for there is no one else in the heavens and the earth that is anything, Lord, that's worthy of worship but you. Yes, Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God of all of heavens, all of creation, of all, everything that exists, visible and invisible. Lord, we can marvel that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. Lord, to buy us with his blood so that we may have life. Lord, we acknowledge as people that we so easily compromise. Yes, Lord, that we so easily choose a different way. Lord, that we so easily compromise on what is truth. Heavenly Father, and that we seek so many other alternatives for life than the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to put our eyes on the Lord in everything. Yes, Lord, help us to recognize that there is no way except through Christ. Yes, Lord, there is no truth except Christ and the way you've penned it for us in your scriptures. Heavenly Father, and that there is no life outside that of the Lord. Glorious Lord, you know how we seek to walk in our own ways. Lord, you know how we seek to further our own status and positions and possessions and all those things because we are, Lord, idolaters at heart. Gracious Lord, we ask that your word will speak to us today afresh. Heavenly Father, that we will see the Lord Jesus Christ afresh today for what he truly is. The way, Lord, the truth, and the life. Heavenly Father, help us all to rearrange our lives accordingly. Lord, to seek your face daily. Heavenly Father, to live by the truth as you have penned it for us in your scriptures. Lord, make us people that's willing to stand up for the truth. Lord, people that will never compromise. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.